We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There we go. All right, off and running on time again.
Yeah.
Hey, 20 minutes. What's well, yeah. Between friends?
I know. Yeah. Just before we push play here, like, oh, wow, we're late. John's like, no, this is about on time. You're right. It's about the way we go. So, yeah, and away we go. Busy, busy day. I got rocks to move. I got stuff going on. You know, it's getting crazy, crazy around here. How about you guys?
John, you're going to confess one?
Here we go.
I have absolutely nothing going on in life these days. So, I am on the opposite end of the spectrum from you two guys.
Oh, my God.
Can you feel the jealousy exuding from me, John?
I was telling Steve, you know, I roll out of bed in the morning, right over to the sofa, flip on the TV.
Oh, my God.
Make dinner and then roll back into bed.
So how long has Lydia made you sleep on the couch, John?
I keep doing that and she will.
So jealous.
Yeah, I'd be bored. I'm sure you are, John.
I mean, I'm a bit bored, to be honest. And, you know, financially, it's not great for us, but for my peace of mind, I've never been less stressed.
Yeah, blood pressure has never been lower.
I've never felt better in my life, but
there you go.
Yeah. So that's,
rub it
that's
in, John.
Good.
Rub it in, buddy. Rub it in.
I know.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I am. But when you guys are all buying Christmas presents for your family and I'm not, you know.
Right. Well, hey, say it there. Yeah.
Hey, John, what the hell? You mean, why are you not buying Christmas presents for my family?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the shipping, Steve. It'll kill you.
God dang that. Yep. Yeah, no, I've had the just crazy weekend again. I was saying to the guys before we came on, out at the police stations all day Saturday, all Saturday night, early hours of the morning, and then last night, police stations right through till gone midnight and then up early again. It's just gone crime crazy. So, sleep is a rare commodity these days. So again, as I said to you guys earlier, anyone that you hear snoring, it's me. Someone just kind of, you know, put something in the chat. Wake up, Steve. That'll keep me going. Boy, am I tired and I can't touch Red Bull. Can't touch Pro Plus, because if I do that, then I won't sleep at midnight when this is finished, and I need to get sleep because it's a long day tomorrow. So I'm going cold turkey, boys.
I forgot. I was like, I'm in such a hurry to sit down here, get a little distracted, get home, get some stuff done, you know, and I didn't get my tea, so I have to have my, you know, got to drink my special juices, you know, liking to drink the juices, but keeps the energy up, you know what I mean? So
Did you guys see that? The live stream just dropped out.
Did it?
Did you see it? Yeah, we all just dropped off the screen and then came back on.
Not here.
I didn't notice it.
I didn't notice it.
Oh, weird. Okay. All right. I'm glad I didn't swear then. I nearly would. Yeah. All the pictures went disappeared. See, again, you frozen again on my screen.
You froze, Steve. It says people say in the chat, you froze. But don't worry, you can swear. You can say something like,
but see, that's us, because I can see you and hear you just fine. So
Yeah. Oh, weird. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, perhaps I could just pause my screen and have like 40 winks.
Right? Yeah, and then, Paul's saying not here, like the live stream didn't do anything. It's just you, Steve. Weird.
I froze. Meanwhile, he's napping in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
I just painted like eyes on the back of my eyes.
It's a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, he's got the Jaws Sharpie eyes on the.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh. Or with no eye. Raiders of the
Don't
Lost Ark.
Boys.
Now all the chat's going. I get it, Rachel. I could hear you all okay. So everybody, Steve, I don't know what's got going on over there, but.
All right, man.
That's
all right. The lights, they're shorting out the feed.
Yeah, exactly. They're LEDs. I put it, it shouldn't be too much power. Those are LEDs there on the screen.
Well, especially since they're running on a battery pack.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
If anyone could get it to work on the chair. Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't going to plug them in. Get electric.
I just sit on this box until Christmas is over.
Good God. Oh, here man. We go. All right.
So there we go. But the good news is I have still managed to find time to watch some very good stuff in the cinema room. The release.
Some I've seen.
I mean, the only thing more busier than the criminals, it seems, alleged criminals, is the releases of 4K discs. Oh my goodness. Yes. Jordan Carpenter and I were talking via DM in the week that on Monday coming, which is the normal release date of the week here, there is nothing out. So 23rd of December, there's nothing. And Jordan and I are both like, thank God for that.
Thank God.
Oh my gosh.
You posted it a whole bunch.
Crazy. Yeah. Seen some great stuff. And some not so great stuff. Very, very cool release wise. And John though has seen the film I want to know most about this week.
So, oh yeah.
You know, I can't wait to hear about that, John. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Really?
I hear good things.
Which one's that?
Yeah. Oh. You'll find out.
Oh, I know which one. Wow. You set me up for a tease. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Look at that.
I'll tell you now, it's not for you, DJ.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I almost, if I had the time, I was going to get that one in. I have it on Kaleidoscape. I was going to get that one in, but. And I was like, I know what I'm in for.
It's like, I've heard it's you know, tearjerker nonstop. So,
Greg told me that. Greg told me, he's like, it's like from beginning to end. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
I don't need that. I get that on any given day.
indeed. All right, let me say hi to everyone. So TSG was first in. Hey, TSG, the local boy. Second was, hey, Fred. Was in. Van Gool's in. Hey, Steve Atts in as well. Mikey's in. Quite a few tonight, in fairness. And Marcus Beeb's in. Hi, Marcus. Saying raw and uncut. Well, I'm sure you are, Marcus. That's fine. I'm delighted to say. If we've got Scruffy's in. Hey, Scruffy. Someone called Steve George is in. Hey, Steve George, whoever you are. Dom is in. Bonsoir, Dom. Ooh, and Dom, I did pick up Follet Adieu this week, but I still prefer Follow a Duck. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, exactly. Haven't seen it yet. Looking forward to that. Hi, Rach is in. Hey, Rach. And we've got Paul Hertz in. Hey, Paul. Hope you got out of the hospital okay, buddy. Hope all's well. Jordan's in. And Beth, again, has dropped in. So, hey, Beth, that is a newbie. So,
another Beth, female.
25. Yeah. So, that's welcome. All good stuff.
I haven't scanned today. And then...
Best. Jack Lee's in. Hiya, Jack. Good to see you again, buddy. Yeah. And someone else, EPRFA. I do hope that's not some sort of abbreviation of anything inappropriate. Hey, EPRFA. Welcome along.
Nice.
And if it's your first one, nice to see you.
Yeah.
So there we go. All present and correct.
Yeah. Beth 525. Looking into starting our first home theater. Oh, boy.
I'd like to say you've come to the right place, but
what
we can do is help you with what to watch in your new theater.
Yes, yeah, exactly. What kind of movies do you like? Yeah. And then we could design. We'll start from there, but we also have going to. So, welcome, Beth. Nice to have more females in the chat. Let's see, where are we going here? What was the other one? Oh, start. There we go. This one here. Mm-hmm. Van Gool, who listened to Takeover Tuesday? I agree with DJ. So we're just going to leave that up there for the whole show.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to listen to it. What's he talking about, DJ? Can you tease me with that? So when I listen to it on my way to work tomorrow?
Yeah, it's more, it's about, where did I just undid that one? There we go. It's the, like, basically the scenes, like, it's getting more and more difficult now for the content creators or the artists, I should say, really, whether it's the sound design, the sound engineers or anything, to be like, when was the last time we sat in your room and was like, wow, I've never seen or heard that before, like that kind of a scene, right? And I say, like, we sit here every week and, like, we'll talk about, like, it's a demo disc from beginning to end, like Pacific Rim, or this scene is a demo material, but it's really more about demo material to me is like, what are we going to use to show off our theater? Right. When was the last time a new movie with a new scene came out that makes you go, holy crap, I've never seen that before? And well,
this week.
I can't wait to get to it, but it's getting harder. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but it's getting harder and harder to the point that what was the movie a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Steve, that you mentioned and you were like, the sound went one way on one side and one way on the other. And I was like, yeah, like Tenet. And you had forgotten that, you know what I mean? Like, whereas, and what I go into and like, literally, I didn't know what I was going to talk about in that Takeover Tuesday. I had nothing. I had a different idea about scheduling, right? Cause I had somebody scheduled to come on that I can't wait to get on later. That's going to be a lot of fun, but the schedule got all messed up. So I had to go alone and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I was going to talk about how like best laid plans, whether it's theater or something, right? That was my idea. And then this just popped in my head and I went for like 50 minutes ranting about this. And it's not even a rant. It's not a bad thing. It's great because now the gear kind of takes over, right? And I think what Van Gool's talking about is like, it's the like older, you know, older titles and stuff have come out and now we're like, oh my God, we're seeing these in a way we've never seen. Or even better, titles that you've had in 4K for a while, but you upgrade something, or like even in my case, I was talking about, it's not even an upgrade, it's an update to my, to a piece of equipment, right? And now all of a sudden it's pulling out something you, that's always been there, but we just didn't have access to, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, and this is something I could say here because I didn't touch on it in the Takeover Tuesday, so I'm not spoiling anything, but that's kind of the fun of, like, if you hit the lottery, you've never been into home theater, pay attention, Beth. I don't know if you've hit the lottery, but if you've never been had a home theater.
Just because she's female, Deej, does not mean she can't concentrate.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, like, did she hit the lottery? You know, it's like, I don't know. But let me mansplain this to you, Beth. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Throw me under the bus. No, I'm saying, like, if you hit the lottery and you could have, like, the best of a home theater right out of the gate, you would miss out on knowing what that even is, right? Because we're all experiencing that as we go along. And like I did say in the Takeover Tuesday, like when Mikey Schramm and I experienced that in the SVS demo, and it's like, I've never heard that before in that scene. And it's like, that's a scene we've played many, many times over and over. And you're like, it's always been there. We just didn't have the capabilities to get that out. Right. So that seems to be the highlight of what's going on in home theater right now to me. And I did reference back to like when John and I first started in like 88, it was like, you were amazed when something went across the front of the room, right? And it was like, or even in your car, stereo sound back then was huge. It was like, did you hear that? The drums are over there and the guitar's over here. Or then it's like, it just moves. And that was amazing. That blew your mind. Today you'd be like, I can do that. I could do that in our mix. I've done that on our show. And people listen, that's dumb. Don't do that again. I put John on one side of the car and me on the other. No, don't do that again. That was bad. It's like, you know.
Where did you put me?
No, this was back in chat. This was way, way back. Yeah. I put you in the corner, Steve. Yeah. So, but you know what I mean? So like that to me is like where I think, what's going on with home theater right now, you know, and that it's, at least to me, you know, and it's getting harder and harder to impress us because, well, quite frankly, everything is so good that if everything's great, then nothing's great, right? And it doesn't mean it's not great. It's just everything's been elevated and we've become, you know, kind of spoiled, which is good because it's going to give us that, you know, a better ear, a better eye for stuff. And who knows what's coming down the road? Well, I kind of have an idea, but yeah. What are you laughing at? What do you got?
Well, no, I'm
you disagree?
Scruffy just saying, I listened to Takeover Tuesday at midnight. It helped me fall asleep. Nice, yeah. Scruffy. Nice.
Thanks,
nice.
Scruffy. It's like well, now you know what you can put on after the show, Steve. In Dolby Digital.
Done. Yeah.
I don't have to worry about the wind.
Well, yeah. I just think it's great. Let's bright side this. Yeah. You know, too much of a good thing? No such thing.
I say that in the Takeover Tuesday that I don't think it's bad. I think it's great. I think it's the evolution of home theater, of where we are in home theater. And well, go ahead.
If it's going away, if that's where home theater, you know, this idea of, oh, you know, that's it. No more discs. And, you know, you're going to have a streaming and that'll be it. Then we'll look back on these days as the halcyon days, the absolute topmost, the best it could ever be. And so we've got to enjoy them while we can, because if that is the future that's coming, and lots of people seem to think that it is, we'll hold out as long as we can.
LG thinks it is.
But then they were never, in terms of their 4K players, they were never really much of a market penetration. But they're more into their displays. But exactly. Whereas, so I just think that, you know, we've got to enjoy it while we can, you know, make hay while the sun shines. Enjoy this incredible slew of stuff. Again, as me earlier saying, so many discs out. But many of them are damn incredible. Again, including some we're going to talk about hopefully a bit later. So, you know, we just
hopefully if we ever get off this topic.
There's just so much. I get it. I think it's great. Can I just quickly hark back to a couple of things from earlier? Just Paul just said he's escaped hospital okay.
Yeah.
And easy, it's a message from home. So glad you got back. Okay, Paul. Good man.
Yeah.
And then I just need a quick word with Dom. Just talk amongst yourselves, everybody.
Go ahead.
I knew that was coming.
Just need a little chat to Dom. Now, Dom. Scooch closer. Scooch closer.
Yeah.
Shh. What just the hell? Between us.
What the hell?
So he says, saw in a violent nature, the German 4K disc, sending it back, getting a refund. Average picture and sound, and the movie was boring. The yoga kill was impressive, but all the rest was so lackluster. Dom, come on. Surely I've taught you better than that, Dom. Come on, have a word. Come on, buddy.
Oh, boy. Steve's teaching now.
Yeah. Well, great. Now, luckily, we've got Jordan, good old Jordan. All right. Says, Dom, he said, I personally absolutely love In a Violent Nature. I've seen it about 5 times now and wasn't even bored once. Jordan, I'm with you on that one, buddy. Definitely. So, Dom, come on, Dom, watch it another few times. You'll love it. Honest.
Yeah. That's funny. That's great. Paul also in the chat talking about funny how it's turned around. Used to be, quote, if only it sounded the way it did in the cinema. And I get into that as well in the Takeover Tuesday on how going to the theater, it's completely reversed now. It's completely reversed. And it used to be exactly that. It was like, oh, I can't wait to get this at home. And it's like, I can't wait for my home to sound as good as the theaters. And the theaters didn't even, back then, the theaters didn't even sound as good as the theaters do now. And our theaters, I think, have surpassed that. And the Takeover, I really get into that too. And how, like, I'll put the question to you guys that I put in the Takeover Tuesday. It's like, if you went, pick your favorite theater to go to, right? The best Dolby Cinema, the best theater you have. And if you could have an empty room, just you sitting there with your favorite scenes, do you think that's better than at home? And I say no, it wouldn't be. It's better than what you have in your house. Hmm. So.
No. I mean, yeah. Go on, John.
I was saying no, I don't think it would be.
Things are a bit different here though. I mean, the UK being the UK, the cinema infrastructure, the theater infrastructure is not like it is in the US. I mean, we don't have Dolby cinemas close by for all of us. You know, I think there's only really one in London and then, you know, one, it might be one in Birmingham, which either way is well over an hour's drive to. And for us, that's a long way.
Yeah. Same here. For Dolby cinema here, I got to drive over an hour.
Yeah, I'd say same.
Yeah, but see, you guys
here too.
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
This is just around the corner for you guys.
Well, it's like going to the grocery store, yeah.
Well, yeah, you guys, I mean, you're in England. I mean, you drive over an hour, you're usually in water by then. It's like, yeah, I mean, exactly. So you're kind of spoiled, like in any direction, yeah. You're going to be swimming.
Yeah. Well, exactly that. John rolls out of bed, drives an hour and a half, and then he's on the sofa.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how it seems to work.
But I mean, Houston's an hour from everywhere. So it's like,
Yeah, you see, whereas so to us, that's a long drive. So yeah. So anyway, so we don't really have that infrastructure. So, but if I think about the local cinemas, and again, I've talked recently quite a bit about this one that's got the big leather recliners that they've just had put in, where I saw Gladiator and Twisters and Alien as I just keep thinking of it. You've got, you know, the actual surroundings are very pleasant. But I'll tell you now, I'll take Cinema George over that any day of the week and twice on Sundays, because it's just better. It's more comfortable. The image is better. The sound is better. And I'm at home. And I don't have to watch trailers unless I really want to. So it's, it is definitely, definitely better at home. There's no comparison. So,
Even the technical experience, the sound, it's like you go into a big theater and all the speakers are further away. There are more of them, but everything's further away. It's not that intimate setting. You're not going to be able to pick up on the little nuances that we can pick up in our theater that's tuned to and calibrated to that seat, right? Yeah. Most giant theaters, they're not even, to be fair, they're not even calibrated to that seat. They're calibrated to the room. And we know, like, say you have a large theater and you see these people, like if you're running a Trinov, which I thought was really cool, Trinovs and Storms, they're higher end stuff. And I learned this when I had Ben Goff. It's like, you can have a setting for your room that it's calibrated for your seat, right? And you'll have a theater like something like our buddy, you know, Steve Brock has, where it's like 16 seater or something like that. And he does have this set up. That John, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that. I know it's John Brock, not Steve Brock. he's blowing it up right now. I know it. It's like wherever he is, he just drove off the road. But you have it calibrated for you when you're sitting in that room by yourself. It's calibrated for that seat. But if you're entertaining 16 people, it's calibrated for the whole room, and that seat now suffers. Because when you start dividing out there's only so much of the pie, right? And it's like people forget that. It's like, oh, I got all the seats are evil. Evil. Yeah. Equal. Well, that means that one seat is now lesser. You're not getting as good, you know, cause you got to reduce the sound that's, you know, coming from that speaker over here because there's a person sitting closer to it. So you want it to be balanced for everybody. And that, you know, there's a compromise there in a giant theater. They're just calibrating it for the whole room, if they calibrate it at all, but it's calibrated for the whole room. So you're not going to be able to pick up those little noises that we hear off to the side, the little nuances of like crickets in the background, or like that scene you and I were talking about, Steve, earlier. It's like, you might not even pick up on that. And that's what's happening. But to me, all of that is like, but these sound engineers, these sound designers, everybody, the directors, this is what I want and for sound, and this is what I want to impress people. They're literally doing it for us, right? Not home theater fans, for Brightside Home Theater. They're doing it for us. It's like,
and we appreciate them for it.
And we do. I mean, you've seen it. We're on the Lawrence of Arabia box. I mean, you can't get it any better than that, right?
We are there.
Speaking of which, Paul, I do have the information. Everybody that's won, I put out the information for everybody that won from November, and only one person got back to me so far. I'm wondering if nobody else has listened, and I've forgotten. Like, I still have the list of who won. I just have to get everything shipped to them, but nobody's really reached out to me except for Paul. Yes, there you go. Paul, I do know who won. So and Paul emailed, did we get a winner? I'm like, I'm so sorry, but we did get a winner because I listed it. So, but yeah, anyways, we'll get to that. So if you listen to this now, listen to it's a 7-minute takeover Tuesday where I announce the winners. I don't know how you missed it, people.
I don't know how you managed to keep it to 7 minutes, Deej.
I was tired.
I was going to say that. There you go.
Oh my God. Yep.
Right. All righty. Well, talking of which, should we get to some movies? Should we do anything? Oh, actually, sorry.
Movies. What are those? Get to the sights, the sounds, the scenes.
Before we get to the sights, sounds, and scenes, yeah, we're now calling them. I heard from a certain person earlier, Rach, that TeePublic are doing discounts on merch and stuff at the moment. So
oh,
you
nice.
Can get quite good things. So yeah, so because I know Rach has bought a Brightside shirt.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're doing discounts on it. So I think it's because of the holidays. So so anyone that does want to pick up Brightside merch, and you obviously all should.
Yes, then, we should.
Because of course it's going to a good cause. They're offering discounts at the moment. So well,
nothing like a nice t-shirt for advertisement to get, you know, you can maybe even model it, put it online, be like, look at me. Hey, you know, we've got stuff with, you know, front, back, everything. You can, I mean, it's a get creative, you know, get the word out. Brightside Home Theater. Lots of fun. Or just walk around in it and wait for people to go. What? It's like, yeah, go ahead, ask me, because we have a shirt like that. Which one is it? Go ahead, ask me about my home theater. Make my day. Ask me about my home theater. We got those in there. I wore my COVID one, COVID bunker one the other day. I found that. I was like, oh yeah, I made this one, COVID bunker. Yeah. So that'll be a keepsake someday.
Pass it down to the grandkids.
Yeah.
As your heirloom.
Yeah. Imagine if we were around in the flu of 19, what was it, 1918? I should make that one. Flu of 1918 bunker.
ask me about
been
my
around that long.
Gramophone.
Yeah. We are that old. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Ask me about my Brightside kaleidoscope.
Yeah. Yep. How far we've come. I remember getting those at Christmas. Did you ever
have a kaleidoscope? What was the spinning? Is it a helioscope? What's the one that spins and it was a horse, and if you spun it was like a round.
Oh, and it danced. Thing. The horse ran.
Yeah, and you spun it and it looked.
Yeah, I don't know what they're. I know what you're talking about.
A helioscope?
But
am I saying that wrong? I might be.
I don't know what they're called.
Oh, Rachel's got. Bet I'm older, DJ. I don't know. Oh, not wrong one. Nope, wrong one. Jesus, stop moving. They're talking too fast. Bet I'm older, DJ. I don't know. Does Rachel know how old I am?
Huh? I know how old both of you are. She is.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we won't say.
Rachel's 18 and you're 19, Deej. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's funny. All right. That's all right. It's all in your head. Trust me. Age is all in your head. And I am not that mature.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah. I'm not that bright, and I ain't that mature. So. Oh. Just coming up on puberty. Oh, what? Everybody's quiet now?
I'm saying no comment. I get into trouble with this. You're being
speechless. Good. Yeah. I've got you speechless. Yep. 100%, Rachel. It's just a number. Yeah, my brother just turned 50. And my brother-in-law turned 50 earlier this year. My brother turned 50, and on his birthday, I'm like, so what do you think? And it's like, for anybody that hasn't turned 50, it's like the worst year is 49 to 50, because all you think about is, oh my God, I'm turning 50. Then you turn 50, and it's like, who gives a crap? It's just another day. And every day after that, you're like, what the hell was I worried about the whole time? But it is. And then
Paul's got the right idea.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So Paul says, exactly. I gave up getting older in 2007. That's the way to be, Paul. We like that. Can we have that on a shirt?
Well, yeah. Getting older beats the alternative. If you ain't getting older, it ain't good.
Yeah. Luckily, we are getting older, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, 50 is the new 35. Oh, right back at you, buddy. Oh, my God. Music to my ears. So that means I'm only 35. Oh, nice.
Jordan rubbing it in.
Yeah, I turned 30. Oh, my God. What is it? 50. Oh, now Rachel's 50 is the new 30.
We are all going right.
I got 30, 30, 30. Do we have 25? 25? Yeah. Do we have 25? 50 is the new 25? Do we have 25? 25? Anybody, give it to me. Oh, hey, I collect. All right.
70 is the new 50. Yeah.
There we go. Yep, there we go. Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like 54.
Which is the new 30, Steve. So technically, Steven, you're only 30. So
right. Oh, there we go. Dom's LOL. Yeah, all right. That was a fun tangent. Anybody want to talk about ballet slippers? Just a weird tangent.
Again.
Right. Yeah, not again. No, that was pre-show. Yeah. That's only because John's wearing them.
That's right.
No pants.
No. Nope. John Wick ballerina.
No pants, just ballerina shoes and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Didn't have time to get the tutu on.
Don't ask.
Don't ask, and we won't tell. Yeah. All righty.
When Lydia's out at work, what John gets up to is his own business.
Right.
Jeez, this has gone.
I just got to be off before she gets home.
Oh man, Jordan, 80 is the new 90. What the heck?
We're going the wrong way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. It'll make us feel better.
Yeah. Exactly. Whoa! What the heck is this? Van Gogh.
Right,
yeah. Here we go. All right. What do we want to get to? What are you excited? What's the one you want to lead off this holiday season?
Yeah. Well, the take your pick, DJ. Honestly, some of them are holiday ones. Some of them are not of my little list. So just go for your life.
Only got two, but I'm going to kick it off with this holiday.
Well, didn't
classic.
You have a holdover from last week, Steve?
I did. That's been there for a couple of weeks. So, John, do you do yours and then I can do that.
Well, I only have two.
I only have two as well. So,
let's go with Steve's then. That holdover from a few weeks ago.
I'll be curious to see if you guys have seen this. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
Okay. So this then is the holdovers, bizarrely. You might have guessed that, those watching. those on the audio-only show, you probably wouldn't have guessed, to be fair.
Yeah.
So this is the holdovers. Now, this is my first holiday movie of the holiday season, and I hadn't seen it. And I bought the 4K disc a couple of months ago now, I think it was, whenever it came out, just out of pure curiosity. I'd never seen the trailers, had no clue what it was about. There had been some Oscar buzz last year, I seem to remember. And so I thought, well, I'll pick it up. Either of you seen it?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. What did you think of it, John?
I loved it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really liked it. I don't know what I watched it on streaming, I guess. It seems like I watched this a year ago. Like I didn't realize that this disc was just coming out or. Maybe it's been out for a while, but feels like forever ago that I watched this. Maybe last Christmas. I don't know.
This is what I think. This is why I think that there was some Oscar buzz last year for this.
Okay.
And so, it's only come out here quite recently though. And as I said, I picked it up just on a whim, really. It's like one of those unusual 4K discs that I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting film. It's not a home theater movie. No. I had no clue really that there's some interesting home theater things in it, but it's not a home theater movie. And it reminded me a lot of Dead Poets Society. Actually, that's kind of what I had in my head, rattling around in my head throughout this. And it's about a group of people who are holdovers. So it's a posh East Coast boarding school over Christmas set. Is it in the 70s? I think it is early 70s.
It's filmed in Massachusetts, I believe. It was filmed. If I remember right, this is filmed at the school that Ryan Davey was working at. He was actually working at the school they filmed this at, I think.
Okay. Well, it's a very posh school, that's for sure. Hmm. Ryan
Davey's very posh.
It's one word I absolutely equate with Ryan Davey, listening to the hashtag
talk. Exactly.
Posh. No other word, really posh.
No, it's just Ryan Posh Davey.
Yeah, there you go. I think we've just given him a new nickname. So what happens in this, you have a teacher played by Paul Giamatti, who's kind of he's a classics professor. So teaches ancient Greek and that sort of thing. And he is a bit of a loner, and he ends up being told that he's got to stay back whilst the other students who aren't going home remain there. And there's a dinner lady, we'd call her, but you probably call her a canteen lady, I suppose. And that's the lady on the right in that picture. It's a drama, really.
Cafeteria lady?
Sorry, which one?
Cafeteria what? Lady.
Yeah.
Cafeteria lady? Yeah.
Dinner
yeah.
lady? I've never dinner heard lady. Canteen lady. Have you, John?
What do you call someone who works in a canteen and serves food at lunch at a school?
Cafeteria.
Cafeteria lady.
Oh, sorry.
Canteen to me is the little thing I carried water in my Boy Scouts.
Okay, see?
And there was no lady in it.
As far as you know.
No.
Yeah, so oh, there you go. Right, there we go. So that's it. Every now and then we encounter a phrase that we trip over. There you go. Yeah. All right.
Cultural differences.
Yeah. Maya. Yet again, they're wrong over there, huh, John?
Yeah, I know it. Hey, it's only where the language started, but
right. Yeah, exactly. Who invented this bloody thing?
Yeah, well, hey, you got to start somewhere, and then you can get corrected. That's all it is.
We didn't invent it anyway. It's Anglo-Saxon. It was in all the different people that invaded Britain over the years contributed to the language. We didn't invent it any more than anyone else. Anyway, now what I'm talking about classics. So we've got so what happens then is that it's a bit of a coming of age drama, very, very kind of genteel drama. And about him, that's Paul Giamatti's character learning to relate to others and others learning to relate to him and him kind of finding himself after all this time. It's a really interesting, really enjoyable film. It's a quiet movie. And as I said, not home theater in any way, shape or form, but having seen it in 4K, I thought I would. But what's interesting about it in terms of from a visual perspective is they've tried to give it a 70s look. And what I mean by that is there are burn marks in it. So you get little burn marks in, which would have been to change the reel. It was shot digitally, but they've done that. They've put grain in it. They've put some image waver here and there. And it's all very deliberate to evoke this era that they're going for. So it looks like a movie that, you know, Martin Scorsese could have filmed back in, you know, the Taxi Driver sort of days. It's really good. And it's got a really nice ending, which I'm not going to spoil, but a nice kind of denouement to it. I thought it was really good, but as I said, the movie it most reminded me of was Dead Poets Society. It just kind of just felt that kind of way for me. What about you, John? Would that be fair, or is that kind of am I doing it a disservice?
Nope, spot on. I agree with everything, but yeah. Now again, it's been a year since I've seen it, so I remember just the broad strokes of it more than anything. But I remember I really enjoyed it. Fair comparison to Dead Poets Society, I would think, but yeah, it's a great holiday movie. I guess it doesn't have to be a holiday movie, but it's a good time of year to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it is obviously it's set over Christmas. That's why they're there. So it's as Christmas a movie as Die Hard is.
True. That's what they say.
Yeah. I can see your little tag there. Yeah. So you know, yeah. But I did enjoy it, and I do recommend it. I wouldn't necessarily say you need to see it in 4K. No. It's only in 5.1 DTS HD. To be honest, I think the speakers kind of went to sleep for most of it because it's a drama. This is not an action movie. So I'm not sure I'd say you need to rush out and get the 4K disc. But it is a good film and well worth seeing. So yeah, I definitely recommend it. What have we got here? Also, Rach says she's a cook. There you go. See, if I'd said cook, cook would have known that. There you go. Sorry. Well done, Rach. Thanks for that. All right, that's helpful. Dom says we say canteen in France. See, tell me now, like you being outmaneuvered here, guys. Pincer movement between the UK and France.
Yeah, I've never heard canteen lady. That's all. I mean? It's like.
Yeah. But there we go. But anyway, so good film. Well worth seeing.
All right. Hang on. I'm doing something here.
Yeah, go on. No worries.
There we go.
You won't be surprised to know this is not the one I'm talking about that rearranged my world in a this week.
Oh, no. I'm sure it was.
Jeez. I would hope not. Right. Let's see. All right. Where do we want to go from here? Do you want to hit on this one?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do this. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Take it away, John.
All right. So I watched The Wild Robot this week. This was a digital code provided to me by one of our listeners, and I was able to watch it this past week. So it is in Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, all that stuff. But keep in mind, again, it was a stream. As far as the movie itself, this is it's a beautiful movie. Like it is really, really heart wrenching at times. But super enjoyable. I really like this movie a lot. Mm-hmm. So to put it in some perspective, my wife, who has a bias against animated movies for some reason, she just feels like, you know, they're for kids. Yeah. Was home while I was watching this. She had a work dinner to get to. So she came home and was changing clothes. And before she had to leave, sat down to start watching this movie with me. And after making fun of me for a couple of minutes because I was watching an animated movie, when it was time for her to go, she didn't want to leave. She wanted to sit and finish watching the movie. So if that says anything. But yeah, it's really, really good. As far as the quality, again, for the stream, it was excellent. I think when this comes – well, I think the disc is already – out or coming
it's not out here. It is there.
It's coming very soon, but the disc will be phenomenal. Like I think the disc will be great. Because it had a lot of good Atmos and, visually, it looks stunning, even on the stream. So, this will be a definite pickup for me, on disc, and I'll watch this over and over again because I really, really liked it. So, I'm sorry because I don't remember who sent it, so I wish I did. But thank you again to whoever sent this to me. I really liked it a lot. And
hang on, I'll look it up right now.
I can't wait.
Was it TSG maybe?
I can't remember who it was. I'm not. I don't think it was TSG because he's a local boy. So he's
okay.
He's a.
So it would be less
imported. He might have imported it, but
yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to see this. I've missed it in theaters. I'm counting the seconds till the disc arrives.
Paul,
I'm
Paul PF.
Oh, okay.
Paul.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul. Paul
Productions.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
PF Productions.
Yeah. PF. Yep. It was very appreciated, and like I said, I really, really liked it. So.
Yep.
I have this on my Christmas list, so I'm rather hoping it's going to turn up around next week sometime-ish from the US because I'm not waiting till whenever it's out here, end of January. I think it might even be February. I cannot wait to see this. Everyone says the same thing, which is it's exceptional. I can't wait. I can't wait. But it's a bit of a tearjerker, isn't it, John?
A bit. Yeah, it's not necessarily for DJ, but but he'll like it as well. Yeah.
Look at the, even look at the screen right there.
Yeah, you can see it.
Look at the little duck. Yeah. I'm like, all right, that ain't going to go well for me. that ain't going to go well for me. I love animals. I'm like, oh God. Yeah.
Cannot wait. Yeah. Really going to be good. That's one that'll go top of the viewing pile.
There's another question. That's a great little side topic there. Have you guys? I haven't done it in years. I used to do it all the time, every year actually, until probably about maybe since the show. Stop buying, like in November, so that people can buy you movies for Christmas. Have you ever done that?
I have a movie list on Amazon that.
Oh. Like a update. Registry.
Well, basically, it updates when I. It's to remind me of things. It's to remind me of things that I want to buy. But of course, when you buy from it, they disappear, so that nobody else will buy them. And yeah, I've just shared that link out with people that ask me what I want for Christmas, and I tell them anything that's still currently on this list is fair game. So I don't necessarily stop buying, but almost everything gets bought from that list. So
I used to stop. And at the beginning of November, and then I'd be seeing the movies come out, and I just wanted to be like, my kids want to get me movies, my wife, like people want to get you movies. And it's like, and then Christmas Day, you're like, you got your list and you're like, all right, I got this. And now I want to watch them all and I got to get to the store and get the ones that I didn't get.
I'd say problem for me is I wouldn't get any of them. And then I'd have to go buy 20 movies on the 26th. Right.
Yeah. But think of the money you saved over the last 2 months.
Well,
you know,
just postpone the agony really.
Right. Yeah.
You guys have got entirely too much willpower.
Yeah.
I just, no chance. I have to give my nearest and dearest a list. Here they are. Buy those. That's right. It, you know, because I can't stop myself. So I deliberately pick things that I perhaps wouldn't have bought myself, or things from the US that are tricky to get over. So it's like, right, well, that then takes care of that. But they also tend to be older releases that aren't here because I can't stop myself. I literally could not get it, even it. And this is the stupid thing. You know, I bought 5 movies yesterday, all big new releases. I bought them because I want to see them. Will I see them before Christmas? No. Because I don't have time, but I still bloody well bought them.
Am I frozen for you guys?
Yeah, you are. You're frozen with a smile, at least.
I know, but you can hear me, right?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Fine.
As long as you can hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now that I'm frozen, I can walk away and.
Yeah. If you're going to the toilet, turn off the mic.
Yep.
but I can't. I could not do that. I just have to give them a list to go buy those. And that's what I do because, as I said, any new releases, everything else, I've got to get them, even though I may not see them before Christmas and so could have put them on a Christmas list, still can't do it.
Yeah. I tell people, just buy me something that you like and tell me why you want me to see it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because then they'll buy me the bloody Fifth Element and I'll have to watch the damn thing.
Well, there you go. But if you care about the person that's giving it to you, you'll give it a shot. You know what I mean? Like if it's because my brother used to do that. He used to buy me all sorts of stuff that I never would have bought myself, whether it be music or movie or any, like, you know, an article of clothing. He's like, oh, this is really cool. It'd be like, but he put a lot of thought into these things but it was something that he wanted to share. Right. And that's what I tell people, like, oh, any movies you want or something like that. I'll be like, hey, give me something you want, something that you want me to see that you think I haven't seen. You know, it's like, I mean, because for me, it's like, I could tell you what to get me and then you get it. And then it's like, what fun is that? It's like, there you go. Just checked it off the list. It's
the fun is that you got what you wanted.
Well, I could do that all by myself, but I like the thought, you know.
Yeah. So I could turn that back on its head though, because I'd like to think if someone cared about me, they wouldn't make me watch The Fifth Element. But unfortunately, the people that I know would think it was funny as hell.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give them that power.
No. Well, just hope that they don't.
Should I pop out and pop back in? Am I still frozen?
I mean, look, I'm loving the smiley face. But
I know, but
yeah, let me see if I can remove you and put you back and see what happens. Okay. Or you could pop out and pop in. I'll remove.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
Power. Unlimited.
I know, because I'm clicking the button too, so I'm going in and out.
But now you're going all together.
Yeah, now there's no picture. Yeah. But I can see the outline of the black box where I should be.
Yeah.
All right. Let me
drop this.
I don't even see that. I just see John's, like, his words name underneath and his snowflakes.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
funny. We
finally turned John into a snowflake.
Yeah. There you go.
You might have to, you might have to come out, John, and then come try going in, properly leave and come back in. Okay. We won't talk about you behind your back.
No. All right. There you go. You going? Is he going? There's he go.
Is he gone? Is he gone?
Is he gone?
Right, now let's talk about him.
All right. Now, John.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh.
Here we go. Now I got to edit all this together because now I'm going to have all multiple audio tracks for John.
Uh-oh. Oh,
man. Is it because he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out? And I got to match them all up. Oh, jeez. All right. Let me see. I'll wait for John to come back in.
Yeah. No worries.
And then we'll get to my
holiday classic.
There's
definitely some issues with the stream tonight, bearing in mind what happened with mine earlier.
Yours froze.
You disappeared from mine, and then I froze, and something's going on. I'm trying to read what that is, DJ. I'm trying to see what that is. Can't quite see.
Oh, it's the holiday classic.
Evil Dead Rise.
No.
There he is.
There he is.
Yeah.
Right. Come on then, DJ. Yeah. Put me out of your misery. What is it? I still can't see it.
You can't see that?
I can see something, but I can't tell what it is.
All right. Let's get to the from 1982, the instant holiday classic. Yeah. Enjoyed this week. And it's, you know, takes you back to a simpler time when you were a kid and you watched this on HBO.
I thought you meant when you were a Vietnam vet.
No. My dad was a Vietnam vet or is a Vietnam vet.
That's like a simpler time.
Yeah, exactly. No. When you were a kid. But that's what I was going to say. So for the people in the audio only, we're talking about First Blood. The instant holiday classic.
Those wounds run pretty deep.
Yep. So, yeah. So I went back to this year. This is literally the only holiday movie I've watched this season so far. I will get to Die Hard, but I haven't done like Christmas Vacation. I haven't done like the real holiday ones yet. None. And I was like,
I haven't watched any either. So
yeah. Okay. And it's
the guy that gets the grief for watching too many horror films has got a slew of holiday movies.
I know it.
Well, guys.
Yeah. Well, you're in the spirit. It's like, yeah. And so, and it's funny because I got to go in and change this on Kaleidoscape because you can change the title so that it comes up. And I did that with Star Wars, as a matter of fact. I went and changed all the titles to Star Wars episode and then put the number instead of the Roman numeral because the Roman, they don't go in order. It goes by the I, you know, if the I comes, so it screws it up. So I put the numbers. Now they all flow nice. But I got to take that Rambo out of there on this. Yeah. It's that does, you know, like Rambo, First Blood. Like, no, that's not what it is. It's First Blood. Mm. It's always just been First Blood.
Right. So good. So good.
Yes, it is really good. The movie is great. Picture, excellent, over what I've been used to. I talked about it this one last year as well. Pretty much every year I've talked since I've had the show. And I've seen this movie so many times and watching over, I think last year was the most impressive jump. This year, there wasn't really much of a difference. Maybe a little bit more in when they're in the forest and stuff. I could see their breath a little bit more. But I remember last year thinking the upgrade of the dark scenes in the early part in the forest at the beginning of the movie when they're hunting them down in the forest. Those always seemed to be like grayed out, like almost like the blacks weren't as deep. And now they are. It's much, much better. The brights are really nice. Their hats, they just look ridiculous. I had a thought this year, Steve. I was wondering if like when they're writing this and they're watching them and you hear Teasel like yell like 50 feet apart and they skirmish, you know, they want, and they're literally, they're marching through the forest 50 feet, literally marching through the forest 50 feet with the white hats. I was like, do you think there was any opportunity, any idea that they were like, it was analogous or to the revolution and how the colonialists were like, you know, Rambo and they hid and they grungy and hid and ambushed. And, you know, the British are bright red with a white X across the front, marching through the woods because that's the way you fought wars, right? And then they literally, and because that's the way you battled. It was like, that was the honorable thing to do. Like, go ahead and shoot me. It's like, and here you have, and then he, at the end of that scene, it's like, he actually says he's like an expert in guerrilla warfare and this and things you don't, you know, all of this stuff. So I don't know why that popped in my head this time other than seeing all those hats.
Like, yeah.
Just march through the woods.
The idea though, isn't it, is that they're supposed to be ridiculous. They're supposed to be way out of their depth and they're just not.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to, well, one, they're not ready to encounter someone like Rambo, but also
underestimating their opponent.
There is an anti-authoritarianism running throughout the movie anyway. I mean, if you think about all the people in charge or who have power are stupid other than Troutman. And even Troutman is not quite as what he should be. Everybody else in the movie from an authoritarian perspective is bad. So you've got the sheriff is useless. The soldiers, again, they're useless.
Oh my God.
They paint the National Guard as being complete jokes.
Oh yeah.
The sheriffs and the deputies.
The casting of the National Guard. You see those people and it's like, even in the first shot when you see them walking up the river and you can see those main characters that, not main characters, but those National Guard characters that you're going to actually get to see speak later. And you see them now having seen them and you're like, it's like, I mean, that one poor guy with the mustache and the glasses, he's just like, you know, and then they even have like, I got to get back to the drugstore in the morning. And you're like, what the heck? And that's not the guards, but that's the way they, you know, that's the way they portrayed them. But
yeah, it's definitely anti-authoritarian. There is very much that running through, but then that feeds into the whole Vietnam issue anyway that comes towards the end. I mean, it's a fascinating film. You and I, again, I remain available for our 3-hour discussion of First Blood, Deej.
Let's do it.
No problem at all. Oh my gosh. There is so much to this. And an American perspective is fascinating to me because I've watched this through my own frame of reference forever. And I love this movie. You know, would absolutely love it. And there is definitely a frame of reference missing, though, from me watching it from the outside in. So an American perspective of it, especially the son of a Vietnam vet, would just – I mean, I would talk 3 hours and not even touch the film.
Yeah,
fascinating. Because I didn't – when I grew up watching this, I didn't – I mean, I knew obviously what Vietnam was a war. I didn't know what it was fought for and where and why. And of course, bearing in mind in the '80s with Platoon and Hamburger Hill and Full Metal Jacket and all these Vietnam movies that were big at that time, to a lesser extent, Delta Force, and you know, Mission, whatever it was, the Chuck Norris things.
Yeah. Not Mission Impossible.
Missing in Action. Missing in Action.
There you go.
Those movies, you know, so I was aware of this conflict, but not from the political standpoint or from the inside out. And so I'm endlessly fascinated by this. And David Morrell, the author, is always on Twitter and he's fascinating as well. And he's always talking about this. And that's the sort of guy, you get him on here, Deej, you might as well do another 25-hour podcast.
Oh my God.
Cause I just talk to him forever about this.
I read First Blood, I read the second one. And then I started reading the third one, after the third movie. And I hated it. The third one is just a word for word from the movie. It wasn't anything additional. Whereas even the second one, it was more elaborate than what you saw in the movie. But this, obviously, the first blood, the book is completely different from the movie. I mean, it's the same idea, but it's a completely different ending. It's a completely, I can watch it every year. I do. There is a holiday theme running throughout. It's like the trees in the background. I was going to take some pictures for the show. And like when he first bring them into the police station, it says Merry Christmas across the desk there.
When a Christmas tree on one of the desks as well, a little light up one.
There's Christmas trees everywhere. It's, when Rambo shoots up the town and he starts shooting the glass out of the windows are all painted like Merry Christmas with holiday themes on it. When Teasel first comes out to say good morning to everybody, he stops at the side of his car and you have the lights on top of his car. And if you look to the background, you see all the holiday lights all lit, you know, which is probably in the '80s. You never saw that. You couldn't catch that detail, but there's so much like holiday stuff in there and any excuse to pull this out into a holiday movie, I'll do it all day long. It's a very deep, deep movie. Home theater wise though, getting back to that, it's, cause that's what we're here for. after this year, I think it's due for an audio upgrade, a remix. It's very quiet, it's a low, very low volume. Everything's clear. It's a lot better than it used to be. Like what do you hunt with this? It's like anything. You know, you can understand that stuff. Yeah. You name it. And it's like, I remember we didn't have DVR back in the '80s. I was like, what did he say? You couldn't make it out on your little one mono speaker at the bottom of the TV. But yeah, the audio is, it's nice, but it's not, it really, even with the op mix, there's thunder in here that could be, it really would be nice to get, cause it is a classic. You know, maybe not a classic holiday movie, but it's a classic and it really deserves a makeover and audio track, even video could improve too. If they have the negatives for it, but I love the movie and, love revisiting it every year. So,
Paul says, for National Guard, maybe watch Southern Comfort. There's a 4K from Vinegar Syndrome. Oh, I've seen Southern Comfort many, 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 many times. I've got the disc of that. And yet I still think that actually is a little bit disparaging about the National Guard generally as well, because they do things that are silly that then draw the ire of locals. So again, I don't think that's a terribly kind of, flattering portrayal of the National Guard either. And yet, you know, for those that serve and, you know, it's no joke. And anyone goes to do that kind of thing are to be applauded for it.
And it's not even a time period thing. Cause it's not even like I had friends that were in the Guards. John went into the Guards, but I had friends shortly after this movie that were in the Guards. You know, even 10 years later, I had friends that ended up in Desert Storm. They were in the Guards. I have friends now that are in the Guards, young friends that are in the Guards now. And it's like, they take it just as seriously. It's just a different branch, but it's like, it's not at all like how they portrayed it here, which is kind of funny, you know? But yeah, it's, they take it very, very seriously. And, and maybe because of stuff like this, they take it a little bit more seriously because they get that, they know they have that chip on their shoulder. Like, oh, it's just the Guards. No, it's not just the Guards. Cause they're the ones that, you know, anything goes on here, they're the ones. And if anything, even if it first thing needed, they're the ones that get deployed. Literally, I've had friends in the Guards back in the 90s when we did the Desert Storm and stuff like that. They went before the actual, because it was like, all right, we're going to send them and then we'll send this in afterwards. Or they'd get deployed as just like literally right there as back. I mean, it was a big deal. So they take it very seriously.
Did they, tell me this, John, did they use bayonets? You didn't, but they did.
No,
but well, I did not, but we trained.
I thought of that in this movie.
Yeah.
Because with the dogs. And he's like, how do you know he's out of ammo? And he's like, cause that wasn't
that last dog was no
that last dog. But then I thought of that. Rambo would do that. He'd kill the last dog a different way, thinking, giving them the idea that I don't have any more ammo.
Right.
Right. And it'd be like, you do that to trick them. So I thought that was cool. And that's something John would do too, to be fair. That's why John would use the bayonet.
That's right.
So the next guy coming around the corner, John can't, unfortunately can't shoot him because the bayonet's stuck in the first guy.
I'm a tactical genius. We all know that. So right. That's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
See it now.
If John ever stabs somebody with a bayonet, it's going to look like a Three Stooges skit.
Yeah.
Some guy runs around the corner and John just shish kebabs him. Yeah. He's like, and then apologizes. Sorry. Oh boy.
Rambo 5.
Oops. Oh God. Yeah. Only we could take Vietnam War and turn it into a comedy skit.
Yeah.
All right.
But toi.
Yeah. All right. What do you got? What are you up for, Steve? Or is it Steve's up or John?
Steve.
Yeah. Go on. Yeah. Take your pick. Just grab one, whatever you like. Straight to the good stuff.
Here we go. Oh yeah.
Okay. Stop me if you've heard this one, guys. Have you seen this? This is Godzilla Minus One. Liverpool 2. No, so Godzilla Minus One. So, okay, now this has just come out. Talk about movies we've been talking about for a year, yep. John. And then Deej. So yeah. This has just come out over here a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago on 4K disc. And yep. This was my first opportunity to sit down and watch it over the weekend.
I joined you.
You did.
I had it before you. I had watched it before you even posted. I was like, yes.
Oh, there you go. So, okay. So apologies for the picture, by the way. There's animated menus apart from the language screen. So I thought, right, that'll do because that looks quite cool. So I got a picture of that. So Godzilla Minus One, 4K UHD disc with Dolby Atmos. Okay. The movie, we've talked about the movie numerous times. Nobody thinks this is anything other than a fantastic movie. A beautiful family drama that doesn't need a giant lizard, but when the lizard's there, that's great as well. Very, very well done. This was my fourth viewing of the movie. First time in 4K and first time in Atmos, proper Atmos, not the Netflix Atmos. And I love the movie. I really do. And that's what we're always kind of criticizing Godzilla movies for and indeed the Monarch TV series, which is the human characters suck. We want more monsters. Whereas in this, they've managed to tell an interesting human tale about war guilt and what it takes to be a hero and what is courage, and the fact that courage takes many forms. And so you get a really interesting human drama with this giant lizard, and that keeps the whole thing interesting. So yeah, really good. So then we've got the video. We'll do the video first. Looks great. Really yeah. Nice in 4K. It's been shot, I think, in a very deliberate way to make it look like a movie that could have been shot in the 40s.
Yes.
It's got like the golden kind of patina, kind of the hues to some of this, yep. Certainly of the kind of land-based stuff, seems to me to evoke movies of that time, the Tora Tora type kind of movies, you know, very deliberately color-timed to look like a movie from yesteryear. But it's detailed as anything. The black levels are great. There is detail on Godzilla that actually slightly undermines the effects work because it's so detailed. It's kind of crazy. And I saw lots of things on this I hadn't seen before.
The arms connect on the shoulders. There was detail there that I was like, ooh, is that like, and I know, like, they, a lot of the times people will say these are homages to the original Godzilla, which was a man in the suit. That's why his arms are longer, not like a T-Rex that has shorter arms. Typically a monster like this, we think of a T-Rex and it has the little arms, but Godzilla has the big arms because it was literally the first Godzilla. It was a man in a suit and they didn't shorten the arms. So, but it is an imaginary creature. So there's no reason for it. But in this one here, it's like, I can't remember the scene, but it was like, it was a shot from above looking down and you could actually see like the way the skin and everything wrinkled around the shoulders when he was like moving. And it was, I mean, really tons and tons of detail and the detail in his face and the head. And it's like, and there's a lot of great, you know, headshots of the, you know, whether it's in the water or whatever. It's like the detail was just that healing scene. And, that you see that it didn't look like that on Netflix. I'll tell you that right now.
No, well, quite. This is the thing. Well, we talk about how good Netflix is, and generally they are. We might talk about another Netflix movie in a minute. But this really does track. I mean, this is a different world to what I saw on Netflix, certainly locally. And I know some of it depends on your internet, but from what I saw, this is night and day different. And the blue of the heat ray, you know, going up the back, the scales up the back, is never looked more threatening. And the mushroom cloud and the kind of the sort of sunset effect of the mushroom clouds just looks incredible as well. Again, ultra threatening in exactly the right way. It's ominous. It looks beautiful. It's horrifically beautiful. And so I loved how it looked. And then we get to the audio. I'm almost out of superlatives for this.
Welcome to my Takeover Tuesday. That's what I'm talking about.
This is the thing. This is a new, how do I say it? A new level of audio excellence is on this disc. This disc blew me away. And this is my new demo disc. I've got one here. This is where I'm going for from now on. What I like about this is the opening scene. You've got what I always talked about, the plane that comes over the top and lives in your height speakers for 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And you can hear what the creaking of the wings, and you can hear the rattling of it, and it lives in your overhead speakers and then it lands. So you get that nice sort of subtle effect. Then it goes a little quiet for a few minutes. Then Godzilla shows up. And when he first roars, I read a review earlier in the week that said the entire speaker range comes alive at once. Every speaker comes alive. Right. And I think there's something to that because boy, oh boy. And again, I know it's a bit of a cliche from me now, but it is as though I suddenly was transported to a giant auditorium where the walls are not there. They have gone, and it's been replaced with this island and this creature who is just it's mind-blowingly good. It's a new level for me. This is a new reference disc for these scenes, and maybe not the entire movie because, as I said, there's human drama where it's all a little quieter. Well, there's stuff going on, but it's not reference in the way that perhaps sometimes we refer to it. But there are sequences in this that have, for me, no equal in home theater. And I don't say that lightly, but I can't say it any other way because it was phenomenally good. So, yeah, just incredible.
What I would say, Steve, is it's the reason is because of that, because of the story, because of the, like, we, you know, John had taken in Pacific Rim a couple weeks ago, and we said that's like, you know, I mean, that's a demo disc. That's push play from beginning to end on demo material. Mm-hmm. But like I said in the Takeover Tuesday, if everything's great, then nothing is, right? So if you're starting at like demo at the beginning and it runs all that way, by the end, you're just one, you're just, wow, it was amazing. But each and every scene then becomes the same as the last scene, right? Whereas Godzilla Minus One, you have demo scenes that are equal to, if not better than Pacific Rim. Maybe they're equal to, but they're going to be perceived as better than because you've come down to the story, right? And you have those moments to take a breath and go, oh, and the story draws you in a way that you're like, you're feeling for these characters. You're loving. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, you're like, bam, the room comes alive again. And now you're blown away and you're like looking around your room. And it's like, like you mentioned about the Godzilla roar and all the speakers. I hadn't seen that review. I didn't know anything about that. But what I was going to say is that roar made me think this is a scene that this is why you want separates. If every speaker is at top volume and you're running on a receiver, it's typically they're borrowing power to run your front channel. You know what I mean? You're not getting the full boat out of all your amps. But if you're running separates and all those amps that can do it, it's like, bam, you're going to get hit. It's just, I don't know if that's true or not, but I was thinking that it was so loud. And to your point of like the plane coming over, it hovering, I felt like the sound when it landed came from exactly where the plane was that I was looking at. And that's only because of the dynamics of what it was behind you. You thought it was behind you. Now you think it's over you. Your brain's telling you, well, it's not over me anymore. It has to be exactly where I'm seeing it. And it's not. It's coming out of the speakers that are on the either side and underneath. But it just the dynamics of this movie between the story and the sound and the picture, it is. It's a reference, but you have to watch it in its entirety. Right. It's like the scenes themselves are reference scenes. You can go, wow, look at it. My theater can do this, but you're really not getting the full experience unless you've watched the entire story. And then now you're emotionally involved and then you're blown away by, oh my God, here comes Godzilla. And it's that, you know, he's destroying the city or whatever he's doing. And then now you're looking at those details.
Well, what I like about the opening sequence in particular is a demo sequence again, because I agree with you, Deej. I mean, it's a movie that if at all possible, you want to get people in and go, right, let's watch this. But I appreciate 2 hours is a long time for some people. They just can't sit all that long. but what I like about the opening sequence in particular is you do get the overhead stuff, and it does live in these speakers. It's not one of these ones where it just comes over and it's gone. It lives above you for a few seconds and then lands. Then you get the quieter dialogue scenes. You get him sat, you know, looking at the water and all that stuff. And then you get the attack. And so for a demo scene, you do get within the microcosm of that scene or sequence, you get, you know, overheads. Then you get a little bit of dialogue and a little bit of atmospherics of the ocean, and you can hear birds in the background. And then you get the attack and the ferocity of that. And so by the time he roars for the very first time, you know, anyone watching it, I think is just like, oh, yeah. It's just blown. Oh, it's so good. So I think in particular, I like that as a demo sequence, because that's probably about 5 minutes. It's like a little movie.
By the time you get there,
So it is phenomenally good. And for me, these sequences that we're talking about, as I said, are a new level, a new dawn, a new kind of delivery that just, again, you talk about better than the theater. I mean, show me a theater that plays this better than that. I mean, I just can't imagine it. It's fantastically good. And this really does need to be, it's a must buy for anyone that likes home theater generally, but hopefully people that just want a good movie. It absolutely needs to be purchased as soon as possible. And then just prepare yourself. I know I like to say it for awesomeness.
Yeah.
It's just what you've got. There's no real other way I can say it. And as I was watching it, I was becoming irritated with my lack of vocabulary, because I'm thinking, how am I going to describe this?
Right.
How do I convey it properly to properly get across how good this is compared to just about anything else. And, yeah. And I know I'm fading at it even as I'm trying to do it. It's exceptionally good.
Yeah. But it's the combination of everything, right? And that's what makes it so exceptionally good. It's like, and what's funny is, for me, I didn't get to see this in the theater because it wasn't in a top theater when it was here. It's like, I didn't want to waste the time and see it in a subpar theater. So I just waited, right? But listening to the hashtag Dork Guys, Keith and Davey, they literally, or a year ago, said, like, this is something you need to see in something like our theaters. Mm. Like, they met in Brightside Theaters. Like, they were talking about us. And, like, this is going to be demo material. Davey doesn't even have a theater. It's like, but they knew, seeing it in the theater, that this was something that you need to see in a proper theater. In a home theater. It is that good. And the detail is, it's like, Rachel in the chat saying, after watching it again, the intricate detail was amazing. Even seeing the saliva when he roared. Every roar you could see. I mean, I don't remember seeing that on Netflix, but I'm sure it was there because there was a lot of it. But it's that level of detail it just sucked you into the movie even more. Then it's the other part, like Mikey Schramm's saying in the chat. He's like, I thought the subtitles would be distracting. They weren't at all. I thought the same thing. Like, the subtitles were so, it wasn't long, tons of dialogue. It wasn't like a long thing. You had, everything was short bits so that you could get your eyes back on the screen. And you read it, boom, right back. And I think that's why it wasn't distracting, is you were so focused at getting your eyes back. You got it, boom, right back onto the screen, looking at all the great stuff. Whereas some movies, it might have a great picture, but the dialogue is so long underneath that you're just reading the whole time and you don't even get to see their faces and you don't even get. I actually, in this one, to Mike's point, I forget the line. But they said a line, obviously, in Japanese. I had to read it. But the way the emotion on their face and the way they, like, tilted their head and everything, I actually got all the acting and everything. And I thought that was interesting, seeing them say it in Japanese and then me being like, oh, wow. Like, I know I read it, but I almost understand what they're saying without even knowing. You know what I mean? Just by their face. Mm-hmm. And I typically, in subtitles, you don't get to do that because you're too busy reading it to get to see how they're acting it out, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that's got to be done purposefully, right? Like, keep these subtitles short so people can enjoy the picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an international trope, isn't it? It's so that it can be marketed around the world. I mean, I personally don't mind, you know, if there's a lot of subtitles, that's fine. But I get that it is distracting. I think, though, on this version, look at it says English there, that English is referring to the menu language, not the film language. If you choose the English dubbed version, you only get 5.1 DTS HD Master Audio. The Japanese is the only way to get the Atmos, and fair play to them.
Right.
Because that's what they should be encouraging anyway. It's awesome. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches this year. And when we come to do our discs of the year, you know, this I think might be my number one, spoiler alert, because I've seen some great stuff this year, but I really don't think I can, in good conscience, I just can't see how anything could beat this. It's phenomenal. Yeah. And again, I know we're getting.
And we haven't even talked about the bass.
Indeed.
The bass is insane. It's insane. Yeah. My remote was lighting up left and right. It was, it really was. It was, the dynamics on this movie they really are incredible. From the story and then how they bring you down, quiet, and then just bang. And then the dynamic, like you said, the frequencies, just everything is going. Excellent.
Fantastic.
You've only seen it on Netflix, right? Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good take.
I am going to pick it up. It is on my Amazon shopping Christmas wish list. but I've only seen it on Netflix. And again, I really enjoyed it on Netflix. Fully knowing full well that it was always going to be better on disc, but But I mean, I thought it was great on Netflix.
Yeah.
We all did. But we just, this is a different, I mean, I think we talk about how good Netflix is, but this is a different experience. It's a different league. Well, to my viewing on Netflix, again, I appreciate, you know, internet speeds vary, but for this is night and day for me. I was not expecting this. And again, the first time the plane goes over right at the beginning, right. Okay. I don't think I've seen this yet. I think now this is my first watch of the movie, and it was astonishingly good. Anyway, I'll stop going on about it now that you get the picture.
Yeah.
Got the picture.
Quite good.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I was very excited to get this in.
Thumbs up.
It actually showed up. Yeah. Thumbs up, everybody. Thumbs up. There you go. All right.
Hey, Fonzie.
Yeah. Reference to the Fonz. Hey. Shout out to Lilo and Stitch too. All right. Let's see. After that, let's get to John on this one.
Mm. Yeah. Right. I'd really rather not follow that whole diatribe that just went on, but
sorry.
Really? Sorry. You want me to go?
No.
What else do I have?
It's fine. I'm just kidding.
Actually, you know what?
I just can't talk like that about these movies.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but no, put it up. I mean, that's the only one I've got left. Might as well.
I still haven't seen my disc of this.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, oh, wow.
Yeah, let me do this one really quick then. And we'll get to, and then we can.
Yeah, I can follow you. That's no problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Cause I kind of mentioned this one, in today's, Takeover Tuesday, not by title. So this is, Venom, The Last Dance, dropped on Kaleidoscape last week. I had pre-ordered it, so it was there in the morning.
You couldn't cancel it?
No. Oh, you didn't like it?
I haven't seen it. I have no idea.
Oh, I actually really liked it. I'm kind of thinking like it might be my favorite Venom.
Yeah.
Of the three. I liked the first one. I was okay with the second one. You and I talked about, I think, both of those on chat.
Yeah.
The second one, I was like, it's all right. It's all right. It's a comic book movie.
Yeah. I didn't like the second one. I liked the first one. For what it was, but I didn't like the second one at all.
This one here, I think I liked it better than the first one. And it's not like any of the MCU movies or anything like that. It's not like, you know, a good MCU movie, but I thought it was good. I thought it was a good, if you want to call it an exit strategy, I don't know for this. The special effects were great. The picture was really good. The sound was really good. It's a Sony disc. And this is kind of where I went with my Takeover Tuesday. I was like, it wasn't Godzilla Minus One, which I'd already seen when I watched this. I watched that first. You know what I mean? It didn't have in it. And don't get me wrong. I'd actually say the picture on this, because it's like, this is closer to, Thor Love and Thunder type of picture, you know, vibrancy picture, you know, you've got, different, alien creatures. You've got different colors. You got bright lights and this and that, completely different than we were saying, Steve, about the tone of Godzilla Minus One, that had nice explosions and stuff that were bright. And this one here, it's more of a comic book movie. So it's more of there's some neon feel, not really neon, but you know what I mean? Like it's a more vibrant picture, but because it's more vibrant from beginning to end, you're just like, okay, that was nice. And it is, it's really nice. It's got some, this is what I'm saying. It's like, I'd say it's probably got some demo scenes in it, but if they're all great, you're at the end of the movie, like, what do I write? What do I talk about? What blew me away? You know, and it's hard now. It's like, you know, it's like, and that's what I was kind of saying about like an older title, a catalog title that comes out and you're like, oh my God, it's never looked this good. Well, this has never looked this good. It's never looked any worse. It's like, it is what it is. It's a Sony title. It's great. Buy it if you like Venom. There you go. It's like, you know, it's going to make your room sing. For sure. It's got all the frequencies. It's got the bass. It's got the picture. It's got the sound, sight, sounds and scenes. Got it all. Moving on. That's all I can say. And you know what is sad is like that's what it's become. You know, like, it's like, yeah. That sounds like it's a detriment, and it's really not. You know, like, I'm talking down about it. Eh, it ain't very good. Right. No, because it's really good. It's just, it's like, you got to do more to impress me. You know?
No.
So.
Shania Twain, is it? That don't impress me much.
Nope.
Yeah. So you're a really good 4K disc. That don't impress me much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair.
I mean, I look at you, Deej, and think Shania Twain. But yeah. You know.
Is that Feel Like a Woman? Is that her too?
Well, yeah. Was it a man? I Feel Like a Woman? Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not an expert. We've established I know nothing about music.
Yeah. So there you go. That's Venom, The Last Dance. Take it for what it is. I mean, it's really good.
I've got the other two in 4K. I'll pick it up. I've got zero expectations. I'm going to go into this with the same level of expectation I had on Madam Web and Morbius, you know, just rock bottom and just see if there's any entertainment in there or not.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who has seen this, well, I say seen it, he watched the first 7 minutes and switched it off. And he's, you know, he was like, I just couldn't. So I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that. It does get better.
No, there you go.
It does get better. I wasn't there. I didn't want to shut it off, but I could see like, this is kind of like hokey a little bit. But then it does pick up. Story picks up.
Okay.
And it does get better. So I can't see what your friend was saying there.
Yeah. I'll buy it because I've got the other two, but I'm not expecting much.
Yeah.
Sorry, come on, John. Right. Blow me away. Make me want to see this straight away.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. So despite the bad picture that I've got up here, this was Dune 2. This is the 4K disc, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. So starting with the movie is the movie, right? Like, we've probably all seen it if we want to see it at this point. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming to this without having seen and liked Dune 1. So, you know.
Oh.
We lost DJ.
What's going on tonight?
But you know, nobody's coming to this without having already seen the world and liked the world. So you're getting more of that.
They're all talking
about me
right now. So I'm going to talk.
I actually like this movie a lot. I do like it more than the first one, because I feel like the first one spent a lot of time world building, and then the second one paid off a bit with that. So. The movie's great. If you like it, you know, you should check it out. As far as the disc goes, I haven't seen Godzilla Minus One on disc yet. So, but what I think is my current movie of the year is Furiosa. And if I hadn't seen Furiosa already, this would probably be the disc of the year. It is really, really good. Like, it's not, like minute one to minute, I don't know, 215. I don't know. This is pretty long. Like something like Furiosa was. It's got its ups and downs, but its ups are really, really up. Like, it's got some scenes in it that are just tremendous. Like the first one, and you know, the scenes with the sandworms.
Yeah.
Just shake the foundations of your house.
Right.
And the battles scenes are just fantastic. Visually, it is the same landscape as you get in Furiosa, right? Like, it's almost the same setting.
Desert?
But this is more muted. Like, the color palette here is not quite as bright as it is in Furiosa, but the picture still is stunning. I mean, that's obviously all done intentionally. You know, it's not supposed to be bright and bubblegum, but
it's got more of a haze.
Yeah. So it's like, it's more muted, you know, the sand isn't quite as yellow, orange. It's not
but
as
there's
bright,
detail.
But there's detail
Tons
for sure.
Of detail.
And yeah, the picture is super sharp. You know, the blue eyes of the Fremen stand out. It's crazy, you know, like the way they pop off the screen. So visually it's fantastic. And like I said, audio wise, it's great, but it doesn't have that just grab you at the beginning and take you all the way to the end, like Fury, something like Furiosa or Fury Road do. So I would give those the edge a little bit if I was going to rank like my top disc of this year. But without those, this would definitely be there. So yeah, Steve, you should, I know you own it already. So I would move it to the top because it's really, really good. Again, it may not rival, Godzilla Minus One at this point but that's just kind of what we sound like, a brokered record already. Like,
right.
Does something like Godzilla ruin this movie for us because it won't live up? Like, at what point are we just going to take something that's phenomenal and be disappointed in it because it didn't do what something else did, you know? Because this is phenomenal, but it's not quite as good as Furiosa. Probably not quite as good as Godzilla. I don't think it was even as good as, Pacific Rim. You know, that's just not a movie that came out this year. But I mean, that's the audio on that is again, phenomenal. So,
yeah.
So I don't know where we draw the line when you want to compare things.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're trying to rank everything on a scale of like 1 to 100 or
one. They can't all be 100.
And it's like, but even 100's not enough because where you put this at 99 is you don't have enough. You got to get them all. It's got to be like 1 out of 1,000. And there's like, this is 999 and the other one's 998 or 998 and a half. And you know what I mean? It's so fine. The differences are literally, it's an artistic choice.
Right.
Is the differences here. They're all executing to the best, they're not missing anything on purpose or by accident. It's like, it's all done to perfection. It's just, what did the artist want to convey to, like, so to your point about the picture, it's not going to be like, hey, wow, it's going to blow you away. Like a Love and Thunder type brightness.
Right.
But that's not what the artist.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And that's why if you watch enough movie, us watching all these movies, we can appreciate that because now we can appreciate what the artist is trying to do as opposed to the person that watches like one movie a year and they're like, maybe they think all movies look like this.
Right.
Right. And it's like, that's the idea. So like going from Furiosa to this and it's almost, is there a top? Maybe they're both number one. You know, maybe they're equal. It's just what the artist was trying to do. And they clearly evoked the emotion. They executed it perfectly because we're talking about it. Right. Anything in Dune like this, it's going to get us going in our theaters because like, what is it? King of the Monsters or something? Which Godzilla movie was it where they actually, the sound was part of the story? With the deaf girl, it was talking, and it was like,
that was Kong.
Yeah. Was that the one where it was like, it was really like part of the story, and you were like, oh my, like, and that's what Dune is, like you said, with the sandworms and everything. It's like, boom, boom. And to be able to get that at home, to be able to pull out all those frequencies, and maybe if we can get into infrasonic someday, what are these movies going to be like? When we can finally do what Todd's done in his theater, Todd Anderson's done in his theater with the infrasonic, and how deep do those sounds go? And that's the fun of like a movie like this, where it's like, we might not be getting everything out of it. Our systems might not be pulling all of the capabilities out of this movie yet.
Right.
Where maybe Furiosa's tapped out. We've got all of that. This one here, who knows? You know, and it's like, you're going to be like, you upgrade your subs in a couple of years and be like, oh my God, Dune Part 2 is amazing.
Right.
It's like, it's, you know, that's the fun, you know? You haven't seen it at all, Steve?
No, I saw it in the theaters.
Okay.
And I talked about it on the show, but I had the disc. This is one of the Canadian ones that my brother bought back for me that I was going to watch and then just haven't. What's stopping me is the length of the movie. So finding that time. And then, but also my problem with the film is it's so po-faced. It's so serious. There's no kind of, and that is an
emotional like a little comedy in your dramas, huh?
Well, I just like to
there is no comic relief.
No.
Paul Atreides is, you know, I mean, I'm going to misquote Good Morning Vietnam, but Paul Atreides is in more dire need of a something than any white man in history. And it's just kind of like, it just needs, so it's very, very po-faced. So I've got to be in the mood for it. Bear in mind, I've only seen Dune 1 on 4K twice. Right. So this, you know, this would be the second time seeing this. So I will get to it, but yeah. And of course, there's so much good stuff coming out that I haven't seen that it's kind of like just, trying to find that time. But yeah, I will do, because I'm conscious of the fact that very soon we're going to be talking about our top fives or tens of the year. And I'm not sure that I can properly participate in that if I haven't seen what a lot of people say is the disc of the year. And I've got no excuse because I bloody well own it. So I can't even sort of blame the fact that I need to, because otherwise I can't properly participate in it.
You printed the sleeve and everything.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I pulled out the cardboard sleeve for no reason. So yep. I will do. But I'm, these movies, June as a story isn't quite me, I think. I just can't quite find a way into these. I enjoy them when I watch The Mish, but I don't love them. And I think that's where there's a little bit of kind of homework aspect to it for me. Right. But I appreciate I'm, you know, very much the minority. So I am looking forward to seeing it when I can, but there's just so much. So much. I've got to follow a duck 2 feet away there.
Right. But you haven't seen that in 4K yet?
I haven't seen it at all.
At all?
No, Joker 2, I have not seen it at all.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, so it's right there, and I need to see that.
Right there.
It's right there. And there's Terrifier 3, and that is a holiday movie. And that's right there. So come on.
Here we go.
Yeah.
It really is holiday film.
Yeah. All right. We've got 6 minutes. Is there anything do you want to hit this one?
Yeah.
Or is there something else? We can wrap up with this one since I hit on it earlier.
There's the Tarantino one there as well. I could do that one either.
Do you want to do which Tarantino?
Because that's at least a holiday movie as well. Yeah, there we go. We'll quickly do that. It won't take long.
All right.
We would have seen it. Yep.
There we go. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
So this is then The Hateful Eight, on Blu-ray, 1080p, DTS HD 5.1 Master Audio, upmixed to Neuralex, which I watched a couple of weeks ago. I needed a movie just to wallow in. And I love this film. I think this is one of Tarantino's best. I think it's underrated, actually. Although this is the Blu-ray version, it's not the Roadshow version, which is on, well, apparently on Netflix, although I don't think it's on Netflix over here, which is the, you know, 4 and a bit hour version, which is basically a TV show. This is the Blu-ray, nearly 3 hour version, theatrical mix. You guys seen it? Like it?
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
Yes and yes.
Okay. Yeah. Deej, you should make some time for this because the ratio is 2.55. It's ultra wide.
Oh, wow.
The whole film show. Yeah. It's really interesting. So I think you'd get a kick out of kind of how that looks on your screen. Bound to be on Kaleidoscape, Deej, bound to be. I love this film. I think it's great. This is one of those Tarantino movies, like many of them, in fairness, but particularly this one where the dialogue is everything. You can just listen to these characters talk and it doesn't matter how long it goes on for. It's never less than riveting. So it's really good. But I'm very pleased to say this is also a fully fledged home theater experience. Not only do you get the ultra-wide ratio, loads of it is shot in close-up. Again, it's Tarantino, so you can see all the little marks on the uniforms, all the kind of the discoloration of the the injuries that various characters sustain are really clear as well. And the audio on it is fantastically well done, mixed to Neuralex. So the whole thing basically takes place within a haberdashery where there's a storm going on outside. And throughout the movie, you can hear the wind whipping around. You can hear all this stuff going on. You can hear distant voices when there are characters outside come in. And you know, Deej, you talked, well, what film was it? I can't remember. What was the movie where you said there's the sound of the brains and the goo and the guts fly? Oh, Daybreakers, wasn't it? Where that
was
kind
it
of
Daybreakers?
Where there was an
explosion. Or was it, no, I'm thinking, Men in Black.
Yeah, that's it.
Was it Men in Black?
Guts,
it was
like stuff, and it goes around.
Everything all around. Yeah.
Now this movie, on a number of occasions, people get shot. And when they get shot, the goo and the blood and the guts goes over the head and into the rear speakers. And it happens so many times, it almost becomes a comedy in and of itself. Oh. It's rather fun. So for us with decent surround sound systems, you can hear the brains hitting the wall from behind you. You can hear it going past you when this stuff happens. It's really good. Really good fun. So it's a great movie. One of his, I think, as I said, Tarantino's underrated best films. And it's got a really solid, really solid home theater experience as well. So DJ, I'd recommend it. Again, I'll be interested to see what you make of the 2.55 ratio. So it's shot in 70 millimeter ultra wide. And it doesn't, it's no detriment to the film. If anything, it's quite an interesting experiment that Tarantino's using because, of course, we are used to the Silence of the Lambs style 1.85 close up movies, you know, those, which we'll talk about next week, where it's shot 1.85 to give you these close ups. But Tarantino does lots of close ups in this, but using an ultra wide frame. So it's really interesting, but very, very good. So yeah, I think you'll love it, Deej. I really think you will. And John, you've seen it, really liked it.
I've seen it. I liked it. I don't have it, but it's $5 for the Blu-ray on Amazon. Oh. So I'm actually buying it.
And it's
I can afford $5.
It's a holiday movie as well because it takes place at Christmas. They talk about what their plans are at Christmas, where they're going, what they're doing. So it is a holiday film.
There was another movie that was shot like that. And I had to take my masking and because it's just tensioned in there, I can slide it up and down, slide it so that I could still mask it. But then the bottom part, you could see the screen, which would be a little bit gray. So what I had done is I actually got some more and put it in. I can't remember what movie it was. And I've never had to do it since. I actually took the extra pieces off and just threw them out because I was like, oh, what am I going to do that again? And now it looks like I'm going to have to do it again. So. Yeah. I don't have the fancy, you know, Seymour screen that has the boop, boop, boop. And that, but that's where we, you know.
But would those Seymour screens work with this anyway? I mean, presumably the masking goes 1.85, 2.35, and that's it. I mean, would it go?
One of the issues on Kaleidoscape is they only have a few when they put it in to trigger masking, whether it's the Seymour masking or any other, you know, electronic masking, it's flagged and then it'll send it to whatever system that you have. And then it makes the masking go to that. So Kaleidoscape they'll do the 2.35, they'll do the 1.85, whatever. So there's only a few. Whereas the new way that you're doing it now between the Lumigen will read it and give you exactly what it is and then send that to the masking. Okay. So then it will know like, okay, this is where it is. And it brings it right to it. And like you can do the one that we saw at Cedia. I mean, they did all that. You could bring it down. They had four way masking. You can come down, you can come in. So yeah, it would go all the way up. And they actually, I forget what movie it was. They actually, like really cinched it down a little more and then a scene changed and it went and it went up. So not in a movie, but they were showing you all the different variables just to demonstrate that it wasn't like cookie cutter 2.35, 1.85 or 1.78, you know, stuff like that. It was, it could get very intricate.
So, well, this is one then that would need that.
Yeah. I get intricate by like, you know, staples and glue.
Well, it's well worth, it really is worth seeing. I mean, again, John said really enjoyed it as well. This is one of his masterpieces. Really good. So
Jordan nailed it. That was the movie, The Creator. I did it for.
Oh yes.
It was in 2.76.
Yeah.
So that was even, you know what I mean? That's even tighter. Yeah. So I had to do it, but that was Jordan saying in the chat, 28 years later has been shot with an iPhone 15 Pro Max and will be in 2.761 aspect ratio, the same ratio as that same ratio the Creator was in. Hmm. So that was it that Jordan just reminded me. That's the one I was talking about that I had to move my masking for. Yeah. So, but
really, really good. So well within John, if you, when it arrives, you know, give it a watch and definitely report back.
She'll be here tomorrow.
Oh man, nice. It's cool. Really, so glad I just dug it out and rewatched it. It's very cool. Anyway.
Yeah. Alrighty. All right. I know you got to get to bed, Steve. Like literally you're going to just like dive right out of the chair into the little air mattress.
He's going to get up and ride for an hour and go to bed.
Right. Exactly.
I'm constantly fascinated by that. As I said, your frame of reference for distance and time. is completely different to the UK.
Yeah.
And it was when I was on the East Coast, and it always has been. I love it. It's brilliant.
Well, Steve, our you know, reference of time is like, hey, come on for 10 minutes. Here we go. Years later.
Yeah, true. But they think, think nothing of driving for 500 miles in 24 hours and just think, well, it's just kind of around the corner. And that's not joking. This guy I stayed with, you know, he did 500 miles in 24 hours. And I was like, let me give you some gas money. Like, it's crazy. He's like, why?
Why?
He just couldn't get it through his head. He just, to me, that's like a ridiculous drive. But he was like, around the corner.
Yeah. There you go.
Love it.
All right. What do you guys want to do next week? We taking it off? You want to do Mondays?
I can't do Tuesday. I thought we were going to take
Tuesday is New Year, Christmas Eve. The following week is New Year's Eve. We should have probably talked about this pre-show.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Monday? Do you want to take the week off?
I'll have to let you know. Okay. I would have to let you know because I've got shopping and cooking and all kinds of stuff to do next week. So.
I can do Monday if you want to do that, DJ. I mean, hell, I can do Tuesday if need be. I mean, I'm not, you know, we never do too much on New Year's, Christmas Eve, especially bearing in mind when we do it here, it's 10 o'clock. So we've already had the evening. So I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm easy like the proverbial Sunday morning. So let me know.
Just so people know now, if you're willing, I can't do Tuesday at that time because that's right when we get going here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we just plan, John, if you can make
just
it.
Just plan Monday and I'll let you know if
Monday,
I can.
5 o'clock.
Pop in. Yep.
Just like we did a few weeks ago. I mean, that was a good test. We didn't even realize we were doing it for that. But yeah, so we'll have a show next Monday live, 5 p.m., the 23rd. Yeah. So that'll work. So you heard it here? Yes, Paul, Patreon tonight. I will get to that in a second. I said it in a Takeover Tuesday today, but yes, Patreon tonight. I will be on shortly following this, on the Patreon, and it's the same link that it was before on Patreon. So if you don't see a post, just scroll down. You'll see the old post, for anybody that wants to join there.
If you do that Monday of next week again, then I might be able to drop into that one. Because I'm not on call, and I'm not on call the next day. So
yeah, we'll do plan on that too.
Yeah,
so a holiday Patreon chat after next week too. So that'll be fun.
Well,
all right.
Evil Dead Rise for 2 hours.
Oh God! There we go on that bombshell. all right, everybody. We will be back next week. So have a great week, and I will have also next week's. On Christmas Eve, we'll be doing our Die Hard episode. Sometime me, Joe, and Greg will be filming that or recording that. So we'll have that coming for the holiday classic Die Hard. So we got that coming, live next Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. But until then, what do you got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.